America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello and welcome everybody to a very special episode of the Reality TV Rehab Ups. My name is Haley Strong, and I'm here today with Sarah Carradine to talk about a show that I recently discovered and I fell in love with, which is Next in Fashion. It's a Netflix show. You can find it right now on Netflix, but it came out in January of 2020. It's hosted by Alexa Chung and Tan France, and we get to meet a lot of really great designers from around the world. So, Sarah, welcome. Welcome.
Thanks, Haley. I'm so excited. I just want to first acknowledge that I'm podcasting from the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and these lands were never ceded. Yes, I'm very excited about this show. I actually saw it when it first came out a year ago. And when you mentioned that you were watching it, I had immediately really clear visions of some of the garments that were made from, you know, over a year ago, and I still remembered some of them. So I'm very excited to talk about it. I've watched it again, and yeah, there's a lot to say, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing any chatter about the show when it came out last year, and maybe that's just me with blinders on or something. But it really felt up my alley. I grew up on Project Runway. I loved the show. I watched seasons upon seasons of Project Runway. I watched the Canadian Project Runway. I watched Project Catwalk from the UK. I also watch a lot of America's Next Top Model and Top Model shows from across the world. So I was really excited to stumble upon this, and I kind of just started on a whim, and I really enjoyed it. I really loved the concept. Something I'm enjoying about Netflix reality shows, and maybe it's just this one and Too Hot to Handle, but we're seeing a central location and people brought from around the world to come here or to come and be on the show, which is really exciting. I thought we got to see a lot of really interesting perspectives and a lot of interesting takes on fashion. It really did feel like a global show to me.
I was very excited by the diversity of the competitors, the designers, seven from the US and three from England. And then the others are from Puerto Rico, Mexico, India, Scotland, Italy, Canada, China, and South Korea. So not only are the designers themselves diverse people, but their influences, their fabrication, their training is incredibly diverse as well.
And I would really love to know how they did the casting on the show, and maybe I should have tried to do more of a deep dive into it, because it felt like some people not only knew each other but were really great friends, and then others kind of came in by themselves. And we start off right off the bat, and it carries through about 8 weeks of the show, 7 weeks of the show, where they're in teams. So they team up automatically. Some people team up with somebody they've known forever. We see Kiki and Farai, like, they're best friends. They've known each other for a while. Kiki was Farai's mentor. We see, who was it? Marco and Ashton, who'd clearly known each other.
Yes, they've known each other and worked together for 20 years. I think it was very intriguing, and I know we'll stop down and talk about each of the designers and their teams as we go, but I think there was a distinct difference between people who came in sort of as pairs who had known each other. Angel and Minju, of course, had worked together for 4 years before. And then some of the teams that were put together by the show, which were very successful, and I would say Angelo and Charles were a team like that, and then pairs where one of them was so badly done by, and I would say Hayley and Julian would be one such pair where Hayley was really done the dirty by the production. Not deliberately, I don't think, but that pair just simply did not work.
They just didn't have the chemistry that some of the other pairs had.
They didn't have the chemistry, and she's Scottish, so there's a sort of deferential style. He's an American ex-military person, and his style is steamrolling. And I think it was very interesting when she finally started trying to push back in about episode 4 or episode 5, he threw his hands up and said, oh, well, we've got a communication problem. It's like, well, no. But so I wonder what you thought about the teaming up. Should everybody have come in as individuals and then been teamed up? Or should people have auditioned or been selected in pairs? Or do you think this mixture works?
I like the mixture, but for all fairness and as fair as you can get in reality television, I do feel like they should have been brought in as pairs of some sort, like not even necessarily like best friends of 25 years. Like that isn't necessary for me, but like even, hey, like we've both done a show in this, you know, in like London Fashion Week, or we did this, or we've worked together. We worked at the same company, or we went to design school together. So, like, I wanted there to be some sort of through line. But then yes, that, it makes it.
I think that's why Carly and Daniel work so well. They have not worked together before, but they both went to St. Martin's. So they both have a similar way of working, and they understood each other very well. And they're both English. So yeah, there was a real understanding between them.
But then maybe we would have lost out on having people from all over the world. Like, I feel like maybe that would have been something we lost. And that was something I really enjoyed about the show. Another thing I loved about the show was that it felt really about the art and not about any drama, really. Like, sure, there was a little bit of drama, but it was like, finishing the project drama rather than like these two people super hate each other. Sure, we did get some with Hayley and Julian, like you had said, but it wasn't like the center point of the show.
Yes, and even that conflict, I suppose, we gathered the conflict rather than the conflict being foregrounded by the production. I mean, in a way, too, you can see where that was really revelatory is that in fashion, these two, not only aesthetics, but ways of working, didn't go together, and that showed us something about each of the designers.
So the format of the show, every week we come in with a certain theme. And I love that. I love that the designers were able to have free range within a very loose theme. I'd say it's pretty loose. And each week it was kind of different. Sometimes they'd have to do two looks. Sometimes they'd have to do just the one. The models they used were different. It was cool. So in the first episode, we had a red carpet.
Yes.
Runway look.
Such a great way to start. I think the way the production was put together with the themes, the pairs going on for 5 or 6 episodes and then going to individual was really good. I loved this red carpet challenge as the very first challenge that they had to do. It's so striking. And I think too, even for people who don't think about fashion perhaps the way that you and I do or aren't involved in fashion and are watching it because they like clothes or because they like Netflix or because they like competition shows, I think the red carpet is a great way to bring in the audience because it doesn't really matter who you are. You know what red carpet is, or you think you know what red carpet is. So I think that was a great way of opening the show.
I agree. It's very much like, hey, you can kind of understand what it is they're trying to do, or at least, you know, the concept of it. What was your favorite look in this episode?
Oh, it was the pink gown that Angel and Minju made. I mean, that was one of the things that when I thought about the show again, when we started talking about it, that was the garment that I remembered, which was a glorious fuchsia pink full gown with the exaggerated kimono bow at the back. Angel is from Sichuan in China and Minju is from South Korea. They had known each other. Had they worked together? Anyway, they certainly have known each other for 4 years. And their aesthetic was different, but it worked very well together. So they have that very architectural look in the draping and the bows and so on. They both have volume. And interestingly, they both struggled with the Western idea of sexy, which they were both, through the competition, pushed. We want something sexy, Alexa said to them on a number of occasions. And they had to, and that was almost a cultural thing of like, what is sexy? Well, I thought that pink gown with all the volume was incredibly sexy too. So there was a revelation of that kind of idea of cultural difference. What about you? What was your favorite red carpet look?
I will say Angel and Minju are my favorite team throughout. I really love the way they play with color. Like, that's just very appealing to me. The shapes they use aren't always something that like I would choose to dress myself in, but it's something that I really appreciate looking at. I love the color of their dress in this this episode. But I'd have to say my favorite was Carly and Daniels. I love that team together because it's so clean and just like structured very well. And they don't, sometimes they'll play with color, but there's always something just a little interesting about their styles. So this outfit is like a high neck cream kind of sleeveless top with a long blue. Do they do pants or is it a skirt? I can't quite remember with.
It's skirt over pants, yeah. Which is fascinating. And the stylist who's there throughout, Elizabeth Stewart, she really liked it. And she immediately responded and said, oh, I can think of five clients. I can put that in today and put them onto the red carpet. I think Carly and Daniel are really interesting because they are incredibly technically adept. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, one of the interesting things about them having gone to St. Martin's is they have that tailoring. They have that technical ability, which we see to a greater or lesser extent, lesser being Angela, who I also adored, but can barely run a sewing machine. So you got the gamut there. Yes, I like that look very much.
And this was not one of the judges' favorite looks, but I really liked Haley and Julian's look here. I don't think it's a super unique take on red carpet, but it was like a jumpsuit with like the long kind of see-through skirt. I really liked it. I thought it was one of their most wearable pieces, which is maybe not what they're kind of looking for in this competition. And that's fair. I also loved Naresh and Lauren's. I thought the colorful fabric they used was really cool, but it wasn't overpowering and it wasn't busy.
Yes, I like that. Naresh is Indian and he has his own swimwear beachwear label, and Lorena is from Mexico City. She has worked for fashion brands that doesn't have her own label. I thought they were an interesting pair, and I feel like we didn't see enough of them because they will go out in the second episode.
Yeah, but here in this episode we lose Isaac and Nichelle. It felt like Isaac wasn't really helping at all and kind of just putting everything on Nichelle. And we got a lot of story from Nichelle, so that made me maybe not feel too great about their chances.
Yes, definitely the personal story bump for Nichelle. I think it was a pairing a little bit like Julian and Haley, it wasn't a fantastic fit. And when they did their confessional, when probably they felt they were in danger, Isaac said something like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's just another day. And Nichelle was in tears, and it was not just another day for her. She'd felt this was a really big opportunity. So their attitudes were quite different as well.
And then the second episode, unless, do you have anything else to say about the first episode?
Well, just I thought they did a really good, the production did a really good job of introducing us to the teams and to the layout of the show, like how it's going to go and what we can expect. I think I have sort of more to say a bit later, but I think just technically I was wondering how someone perhaps not familiar with dressmaking and the actual bread and butter of fashion, what they would be following. But then I think that there was enough interpersonal relationship, and you certainly get to see the runway show every show, and I think obviously that's what we're all waiting for. Mm-hmm. The guest judge and Alexa and Tan, I think, did a good job about what are we looking for. So what does red carpet mean to you? Oh, it means this, this, and this. So we, as the audience watching, says, okay, they're going to be looking for drama. They're going to be looking for, would you feel amazing in it? Or when, say, they get to athletic wear, would you be able to use it? Is it elevated? So they do a really good job of giving us the kind of the dot points that they themselves are going to be looking for as they judge.
Yeah, it feels like when I watch Top Chef, it's hard because you can never taste the food. So you really have to go off of what the judges are saying. And sometimes watching like fashion shows like this, you're kind of like, you can see it and you know if you like it or if you don't like it. But you can't always explain why. And the judges, I feel like, are really great at kind of laying down like, this is what works, this is what didn't, this is what needs to be improved on next time. And it felt all very clear to me.
Yes, absolutely.
In the second episode, it's called Prints and Patterns. I was really excited about this. The point was to use patterns in an interesting way. And a lot of teams actually made their own patterns, which I've always been curious, kind of like how you would do that. So it was really cool seeing, you know, these people drawing on their own patterns and it just coming out. I very much love that.
Yeah, I loved it aesthetically, but I also, the process nerd in me, absolutely loved seeing them drawing or painting the pattern and then it going through the machine and then getting the fabric at the end of it. I thought that was fantastic. Interestingly, the ones that were eliminated in this episode were the only ones that didn't make at least one part of their own fabric.
And it sucked because we see Naresh and Lorena get eliminated here. And Naresh talked about how he's famous for his patterns. So I was really excited about what they're going to come up with. And I like what they came up with, but I was underwhelmed based on the fact that he's known for patterns.
And I think too, when we saw sort of flashes of him in his studio and we saw some of his garments from his own label, and when they were talking in the previous episode and this episode, we know that they both love color. They love color. And they came out with a very muted palette of black, grey, and white, which I actually really liked. But it wasn't their own fabric. So I think it was a very curious, Jess Lees would call this a five hole. This was really his challenge. It's very interesting when we see the designers come to a challenge that is within their own brand, as we'll see to come. And this is very much in his own brand, color on color, print on print, pattern on pattern, and really coming up short. And although I liked the garment very much, I could completely see why they were eliminated. And I think, again, the show does a very good job in making me feel smart that I could understand that.
Yeah, but I would say Angel and Minju, their outfits are what I was looking for from pattern. They made both their own pattern or fabric or patterns. They made their own patterns. I was confusing like these patterns with like actually dressmaking patterns, and I thought I had the wrong word for a second. I thought these patterns were both really cool, really different, but they paired well together because they use the same colors in both.
Yes, I thought this was, I mean, they are my absolute favourite, both of them, even when they have a quite spectacular failure, which we'll talk about when we get to that episode. But they had a very strong story. And this is what I was talking to a friend of mine who's a fashion buyer, and I said to her, when you're at that fashion show in the front row looking at the garments, what are you looking for? And the very first thing she said was story, which was interesting because throughout the series we hear them often talking about story, what's the story, what's the narrative. And here it was a very clear story that came from Angel's province in China, where when a couple gets married, you wear on your body patterns and clothing that represents your family, your culture, your clan. And so here they each did a very different pattern for the print for the fabric, design for the fabric, yet with the marrying colors. And they had a man and a woman at a wedding kind of narrative. And I just thought I was so excited to see this again. I had actually slightly forgotten this one. And I thought, how could I forget? This is just incredible.
I really love this one. Another one of my favorites. And I think the listeners will detect a through line. I really love Carly and Daniels again. It made sense for me for them to pick those muted colors, you know, the light blue. It's a very similar color palette to Tarun Naresh and Lorena. But it makes way more sense for Carly and Daniel because they're very much like, no, we don't do like crazy colors. We're pretty like reserved in what we pick. But I felt like it was a very beautifully executed version of them doing pattern.
It's pattern for them. And I think one of the through lines that we see, and we see this really, we see it in Drag Race, we see it all over, is the hosts, the judges, the people who are giving the critiques, they're saying, yes, we want to see you. We want to see your artistry and who you are, but push, 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 elevate, elevate, don't be safe. Take it where you can. And I think with Carly and Daniel, they're both very English. They're restrained. They're very technical. And so this was their version of prints and patterns, which was the challenge. They've completely fulfilled the brief, but it was their aesthetic very much. And I agree with you. I really liked their offering.
Another one I liked that the judges didn't really seem to was Marco and Ashton. I love their plaid offering. I love the way that they kind of constructed their own plaid with the bands. It does feel very LA to me, though. And that's kind of what the judges are saying, is just that they were doing too much them.
Yes. I mean, I think Marco and Ashton had a very difficult balancing act throughout the time that they were both on the show, and they both do very well both together as a pair and individually, and they are both commercially very successful.
Yeah, speaking of Drag Race, Marco has done a lot of looks for queens on Drag Race.
I think Marco is absolutely fantastic. So they did struggle with, but this is us, but we use black. We don't use patterns. When we do, it's punk. I've dressed Gwen Stefani. I mean, there was a lot of name dropping, but I mean, if you've dressed Beyonce, if you've dressed Gwen Stefani, you're going to say it because it is relevant.
I'd wear it on a t-shirt.
Absolutely. I mean, wouldn't you? I'd tell everybody. But what it was for me is I loved this look, but to me it was, dated's not quite the word, but I was
not
a punk
fresh.
I was a punk in the 1970s. I didn't quite wear that, but I was wearing plaid. I love all that punk stuff. I'd still wear a pair of tartan pants and a ripped T-shirt if I could get away with it, but I can't. So I respond really positively to them and to their aesthetic, while at the same time understanding that the show is next in fashion. It's what they're doing is sort of now in fashion, or yeah, it doesn't feel fresh, unfortunately, despite sort of responding to it. I loved that corset with the three-dimensional plaid on it. I thought that was brilliant.
I agree. Was there any looks that you weren't particularly drawn to?
I must say I noted the things that I liked and
just kind of ignored the ones you didn't like.
I think that we're getting to know some of, there's a slight personal bump for whoever's leaving, although not quite so much for Lorena and Naresh in this one, but we are certainly getting to know the designers that are going to be sticking around for a while. And my kind of most interesting pair is Angelo, the Italian. He's a creative director more than a designer, and I can completely see why that works. And then we have Charles, who's Canadian, and he works extremely hard, and he's constantly having to pull Angelo back to out of the clouds and down to work. But Angelo also pulls Charles up to say what's bigger, what's more fantastic, what's more beautiful that we can do. And you would think that this pair was a bad match. I think they're one of the most, if not the most successful pairings of two individuals who did not know each other beforehand.
Yeah, they absolutely worked very well for me. They were kind of same but different, Isaac and Nichelle, where one was more of the kind of like idea man and the other was more of the workhorse. But I felt like Charles was able to kind of get his viewpoint in, where I feel like Haley and Julian, like Haley was never really able to kind of get what she wanted.
Yes, I think she did what we've perhaps all done before. It's unfortunate. Don't do it on a reality TV competition show, where she said, all right, you do your version and I'll just be your assistant, basically. I loved the camouflage. I just thought it was fantastic, but it was entirely Julian's aesthetic and absolutely nothing to do with Haley. I just think it's unfortunate that she felt that was her way through that episode. I can see why she did, but I felt very sad for her.
I agree. It was a shame because I really like Haley, mostly because we have the same name, mostly because I'm a sucker for a Scottish accent.
Yes. And her, I loved her confessional look, which is obviously her aesthetic. It was very, it's not mine, but I loved it on her, which is sort of whimsical, feminine, and a little bit edgy. And I don't think we ever got to see that in the runway for her.
No, I really didn't. I felt like I didn't get to know what she designs at all. I followed her on Instagram afterwards, and it's very much not what we saw on the show, which is unfortunate, because I think that her style on her own or with a different partner would have very much been up my alley.
Yes, and I think that that's right, that Angelo and Charles influence each other, but I always felt what they sent down the runway was a real combo of each of them, which is really satisfying. And then when we see them individually, you go, ah, that part of it was Charles, that part of it was Angelo, but I think they married very well. And for Haley, she never got her turn, let's put it that way. Perhaps she could have said to Julian, all right, I'm going to go with your camouflage this time, and next time I will be in charge and you will be my assistant. But I just don't think that was their relationship, and nor is it in her character, I think, to do that. And also, why should she? But, you know, that's part of the competition reality show, is that we're seeing these real people negotiating the competition and each other.
In the third episode, we're getting the suit. It's called The Suit. I was excited for this. I love some good tailoring. And I feel like you could go really plain with this, but I think we saw some really exciting work. You know, I can't help but to keep going back to Angel and Minju, because for me, they're doing the most interesting things with shapes. And I loved their suit. I thought it was so cool. I loved the shoulders. I thought it was really interesting. I love that they went all white fabric, which is not something they usually do, but it feels very them.
The sleeve was just incredible. The simplicity, the clean lines. Our stylist, Esther, said immediately she could see it on the red carpet, which is not something you necessarily think a suit is going to go onto a red carpet, but it was absolutely stunning. And again, technically really beautiful. I liked the winners here, Carly and Daniel. This was their five hole. This is their both for both of them tailoring. He has a menswear line. Tailoring is their real strong suit, as it were. And they chose a very restrained all camel color in the three pieces with a very strong shoulder. I liked it. It had a real point of view that it was work from the shoulder and everything falls from there. It was beautifully done. I think they were very, not lucky, because I mean, presumably they are hiring great models, but their model was exactly right for this look with the fierce, you know, the hair and the fierce walk that she had. I just thought that was absolutely fantastic. Did you think there were any failures in the suit competition?
I really, really hated Haley and Julian's. This was one that Haley kind of took the lead, and it just didn't work for me. I think maybe they were battering for too long, and they just weren't able to kind of put out what it is they actually wanted to. I think it could have been cool if they would have been able to have the time. They didn't finish the lining, and just for me, it's a little sloppier than I'd want on a suit. Would you agree? Did you like it? Like, I thought that it was like there's no other choice to send home.
I think that absolutely they were sort of hanging on by a thread. They were saved by the camouflage of the previous, the prints and patterns challenge. But this was not good. Absolutely not good. I think that Haley did try and step forward and make it hers with him assisting, but he didn't assist her. He threw his hands up and walked away. He wanted gold. She wanted blue. He wanted gold. She wanted blue. And he never graciously decided it's got to be one way or the other. And he walked away from her and he didn't help her. And I thought that was really childish and wrong. And I feel she felt defeated when it came to, just so for the listeners, they are given the challenge. We see them designing. We see them making. We see the models arrive. We see the runway, and then afterwards the judges will actually go backstage and really look at the garments in detail and talk to the designers about their inspiration and what they were thinking. And here Haley was so defeated because she hadn't finished it. The lining was half finished. She had to just say again, oh, yes, I know, and I didn't have time. I didn't like to see it, but they had to go because it just wasn't. Even if it had been finished, I don't know if it would have been my favourite. The other people that we see struggling and will continue now to see struggling until they're eliminated are Kiki and Farai, which is really surprising. Kiki is so experienced. It's Kiki Peterson. You fashion listeners may know her. She helped launch FUBU. She was behind FUBU Women's. She's shadow designed some famous name streetwear brands. And she really feels that she wants to make her own name and her own look. I wonder if that long experience hampered her in the competition, where she felt less free to play someone like Claire, who's another young English woman, felt very playful. She didn't feel like she had to stand up to her reputation, and I wonder if Kiki did. Also, their relationship, I liked Farai a lot. Farai has assisted Kiki for many years, and that assistant-mentor relationship carried on into the competition, and I think we start to see Farai kind of kicking against that slightly as she also struggles to perhaps get her point of view across. So in this suiting challenge, that was not a suit. And I thought it was, to my eye, it looked very messy I don't know that it was that well constructed. And it may be because Kiki's experience is in streetwear.
Yeah, it felt for me like a lot of times the judges didn't really get what Kiki was trying to do. And for the most part, I think Kiki executed what she wanted to put out. The judges didn't like it.
Yes, I think that's very insightful, Haley.
And it was kind of disappointing to see them constantly in the bottom. I did love that Farai was, as their time was coming to an end, was trying to put more touches on it. And it was becoming way more of a collaborative effort. But it just, it never really felt to me like the judges were picking up what Kiki was putting down.
Yes, and that we're about to see that come to an absolute head in the next episode in streetwear.
Well, let's move on to streetwear. So when it was a streetwear episode, I was really excited to see what Kiki and Farai were going to put out, because this is their wheelhouse.
Yes, I was excited to see them and Ashton and Marco, because that's them as well. So that the top two or three were quite surprising. So what happens is there's an absolute split in the judging. Each week there's a bottom two teams and one goes. And the guest judge was Kirby Jean Raymond, who's an American designer from Pierre Moss. He's an African-American designer, and he would not eliminate Kiki and Farai. And I think a lot of that's to do with what you said. I think he got what they were going for in a way that previous judges and the two hosts, while respecting Kiki in particular, haven't quite got what she was doing. What do you think?
I completely agree. And it was just, I felt bad. I don't think any of these looks are particularly my thing. I would have to say this for me was maybe not my favorite week. Is there any of the outfits that you loved?
I have to say this was the muddiest category for me. I could have done with a bit more help from the judges of what they were actually looking for.
I would have loved more history too,
yes,
in these episodes.
Yes.
Like, what is the, you know, in Great British Bake Off, the older seasons, we'd get like a little piece of history on what they were doing. And I would have loved to see a little more in that. I think if we got the context, I think we could have appreciated the looks a little more.
I agree. I think with this one and Rock were the two where I thought, well, what are those? And can you just give me a little more help, or perhaps a little more in the confessional from the designers of what they're actually trying to achieve? So this was probably one of my least favorite. I mean, I loved it all, but one of my least favorite episodes. And I think partly because I was struggling to understand what the category was and what the judges were looking for. And that may have been because there was a split, I mean, amicable, but a strong split in the judges, where Kirby just would not sign off on eliminating Kiki and Farai.
And I loved that they had a guest judge who was so willing to stick up for his opinion, and he wasn't going to be like, no, you know what, I'm just a guest judge, whatever. Like, I love that he was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I know what they're doing, and in my opinion, they did it well. So I think they made the right choice here.
I think so, because the bottom two is another pairing who we haven't talked a lot about. Looking down my list to remember their names, and it is, no, I can't find them. The two pairs that are in the bottom, Adolfo and Claire, who I thought they were very interesting, and we can talk more about them. There was nothing to split between. I thought the whole task was very flat from top to bottom. In other words, I didn't feel there were these huge standouts and definite bottoms. And with Kirby being very uncomfortable and unwilling to just, as you say, go with what the other three were saying, and he actually walks away. It's not a walk off. It's not a dramatic walk away. But I think he doesn't want to have the argument in front of the designers in a way. It's like, not in front of the children. He walks away. Everyone's very upset. They Tan comes back to the designers in tears. He says, we can't decide and it's too important. Everybody go home. So everybody's sad, but I think it is absolutely right that nobody should go home on some kind of somebody giving up or a technicality or a point or something like that.
And if I had to pick a favorite outfit, I think I'm going to go with Angelo and Charles's sweater dress.
I loved that. To me, that was the winner.
I listen, I want to be cozy and I want to be comfy at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And this was it for me.
And I loved the story where they said she's stayed overnight with her boyfriend. She's got out of bed. She can't wear the sparkly dress, you know, for the stride of pride. So she picks up his hoodie from the floor and she just tears it up and makes herself a dress out of it. And, oh, it was fantastic. I loved it.
In the next episode, it's underwear. And like we said, nobody was eliminated in the last episode. So we're going all with all the teams. I was excited that they were doing both a men's and women's look. And I was very excited that we were doing women's looks for plus size women. It was just really cool to see different bodies on the show in modeling, in fashion. And I think the garments, for the most part, were done really, really well.
Yes, I mean, I wasn't so excited for the category, but I loved this episode. I thought it was very interesting because you really saw, like, technical work of how to dress a woman and a man in underwear. You're already, you know, having to deal with modesty, having to deal with what is sexy, what is not. Angel says, I will make you sexy, but I will protect your modesty, which made me just laugh. It was so sweet. And usually they call them extended size models, which I thought was interesting. And I meant to look that up and see, is that the new way of saying it? I wish they'd just say models, but I understand why they have to make the fact that it's different. And I liked the pairings of the models. There's one great pairing we're going to get where she towers over her partner, and they made a great kind of narrative about that too. What did you think about this underwear in terms of what did you like or what would you wear?
I would say for the most part, I would wear a lot of it. I would say I disagreed with the judges a lot where they said that the boobs needed to be up and high. That's not necessarily how I live my life all the time. I love a bralette. So it was, I think it was Kiki and Faraz had like this really beautiful like bralette with the like a matching cardigan and the boy short. I have to say that was my favorite look and the one I'd most like to wear. I, of course, loved Marco and Ashton's just as like an art piece. I thought both the men's and women's looks were beautiful.
I think they, what the, I loved theirs, loved them. And I think that was the one pair that really got both the models, both the woman and the man, really, really well. Some of the others let one or the other down slightly or let's say concentrated on either the man or the woman a bit more. I liked Carly and Daniels. I loved that split short on the woman. And I loved Carly referring to herself and saying, I want a pretty bra and a modest pant, and I can't get them to match because, you know, the undies that go with the pretty bra are skimpy and the bras that go with the granny pants are sort of terrible beige things. So I love that she took her own body and her own thoughts about how she wanted to wear underwear. And I thought, oh, absolutely, I absolutely hear that. And then they also did very well with the echoing from the man to the woman, that they were wearing essentially the same boxer shorts. I'm with you. I liked Kiki and Farai's. I myself wouldn't wear it. It just isn't. I need a little bit more support. But again, I don't think the judges were listening to what Kiki was saying, where she was imagining lounging at home in this kind of really luxurious and glorious outfit. And the judges said, oh, she needed more support on top. I wonder
if But I feel like she didn't. I feel like it wasn't the point. Like, I wear stuff, like, obviously not that fancy, but I wear stuff like that, I'd say, God, 85% of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was fresher than Claire and Adolfo's. They probably had my least favorite look. The red velvet for me, like, it's passé sexy.
Well, was it? It was very dated. It was a maroon. I'm not fond of maroon. It was a maroon velvet with black. I was thinking, are we in a vampire movie? Are we at a Renaissance fair? Like, just the color themselves, and then the shape and the construction. Where I've really enjoyed their work. I didn't enjoy that at all. I think they just didn't understand what Kiki and Farai were.
Yeah, now
for.
I'm getting heated that Kiki and Farai went home on this.
Yeah.
Because I thought the men's look was great. Mm-hmm. I thought both these looks were great. I love them. I'm staring at it now and it's my favorite. Like, I'm getting mad. But was it Angel and Minju that were in the bottom? Like, I really didn't want them to go, even though I didn't love this look. I get what they were going with. Modesty, but I just wish we had lost some of the fabric. I'm fine with the bust line. Again, I don't need to see, like, support.
Well, it's interesting because there wasn't that kind of underwire or support in the woman's look on this one, and they weren't critiqued for that. They were critiqued quite rightly for there being far too much. I thought this was a clear fail for my favorite team. And luckily I remembered who won, so I wasn't worried about them. But I was re-enraged about Kiki and Farai being sent home here. And I wonder if it's a little production shenanigans that they wanted them to go on the previous episode.
And they didn't want Angel and Minju to go.
Oh, no. And yeah. I thought Angel and Minju's was by far the worst. I mean, the girl looked completely swamped, and it wasn't really modesty. It was they had never worked with lace before. They got all into this lace idea and just piled lace onto this poor woman. It was a clear fail. But I wonder if they were thinking long term and really wanted to save Angel and Minju.
Yeah, I'm mad about this because Kiki and Farai, now that I'm looking at it, like, for me, my most wearable look. I definitely think Ashton and Marco, they won this challenge, right?
Oh, 100%.
I totally agree with that. But the one I'm looking to buy is Kiki and Farai, for sure.
I would wear Ashton and Marco as a costume, but I would wear the Kiki and Farai lounging about looking absolutely sumptuous. And I think that's what I want. If I'm thinking about an underwear or a lingerie challenge, we are not necessarily talking about practicality. We are also talking about the effect of it as you lie about. So I was going to ask you, do you think, given there was a non-elimination in episode 4, what was their original plan with 10 episodes? Do you think they were going to go down to a final 3 and then a final 2? Because they do jump from a final 4 to a final 2. I wonder if there had been an elimination in episode 4, whether they would have gone down to a 3 and a 2, which would have made slightly more sense. Perhaps we'll talk about it when we get there.
That's a good call. I just kind of assume that they had planned along the way for there to be a non-elimination. Just because it seemed like it felt sort of planned to lose 2 every episode. So I just kind of was like, they built it in because they knew it was going to happen at some point.
Sure. Okay. Yep. I'll buy that as well.
Next, we have Rock. What did you think about this? You said this one was kind of also muddy for you.
It was muddy. And I have to say it was my least favorite, although one of my absolute all-time favorite looks from the series comes out here, and it's Angelo and Charles's men's look, which was the T-shirt with the heart of gold safety pins. And the kilt, I love a man in a kilt, but it was a very fresh take on a kilt. And I absolutely loved that look. I was mad about it. But in terms of the overall category, I suppose we all think we know what rock is, but I wasn't guided enough in what the judges were looking for. And it was a very surprising winner in Carly and Daniel, potentially, other than Angel and Minju, the least rock. Actually, Angel's very rock. So to me, Carly and Daniel, the least rock people in the room, come up with the winners here. How about you?
Yeah, this isn't really doing it for me, any of them particularly. If I had to pick a favorite, it is, I'd say probably, oh gosh, I lost it now. Claire and Adolfo. It was simple.
But I like them a lot.
Yeah, I like these looks the best. It just looked the most structured. It looked the least like Rock of Ages, high school production costume department. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And I
it
think
just
that's
felt like a little
problem.
Too on the nose with like, it felt more theatrical rock than practical rock.
Yes. I mean, should they have been guided with, it should be a stage costume. Should they make a stage costume, not a theatrical stage costume, but something that a rock star would actually wear to jump around on the stage in. And then I would have felt more guided and the designers more guided. This was definitely my least favorite category, although it did come up with one of my favorite looks.
Yeah, I don't know if I have even. And then who do we lose this episode? Who wins and who loses?
So Adolfo and Claire go this time.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I felt like they had been kind of treading water for a bit. I really like their team, and I really like them individually. I think just maybe maybe this challenge just didn't really fit what it is they're going for. I think maybe they're a little more outside the box than this was willing to let them be.
I think I liked them both individually. I think they worked well together, but I don't know if they found a team perspective in the way that Angelo and Charles did. It was neither quite her or nor quite him or nor quite a combination of both of them. So I wish them both luck, but I think this is the right elimination here.
All right. And then so the next episode is activewear.
I loved this category.
I agree. This was fun for me.
And I loved our guest judge. We had Josefina Beige from Adidas. And I'm a little bit of an Adidas person myself. So I was very excited to listen to what she said. And I think, I'm a bit biased because I like the brand, but I think of the guest judges, she was really clear about what she was looking for. And in the walkthrough afterwards, looking at the models and the garments and talking to the designers, she asked really interesting, incisive questions. And so I thought this was a really, really successful episode. And I had some real favorites come out of it.
What was your favorite?
Well, I love the winner, Daniel Fletcher, with his rower. We saw his inspiration. Here, again, it was very clear. We saw his inspiration. And then we saw how he used the inspiration but left off and made it himself. Of course, we get construction. So here he's being inspired by the old rowing black and white photographs of the public school boys rowing on the cam or the ox.
You see this look and you know exactly what he's going for here. And this, we forgot to mention this. This is the first episode where everyone's designing as an individual.
Yes. And I think it was the timing's very good to split into individuals now. I feel the teams have to a greater or lesser extent run their course. And now we're really excited to see what they are going to make individually. And we see how assured he is with the men's look. I loved the scarf. And while it was elevated and high fashion, Josephina certainly was saying she could see all the pieces being worn separately. Tan was eyeing off a couple of the pieces as well. So he is also looking at wearability and practicality. What about you? Did you have some favorites?
My favorite was Charles. I loved his jacket. I thought it was just so gorgeous and so wearable. I could see that everywhere. So that was a real favorite of mine. I liked the way Minju's turned out. I thought it was cool. Yes. I loved her jacket. She is like a jacket genius.
I loved Minju's offering, as Alexa calls it. And she was praised by the Western judges as, oh, you finally found sexy. And I thought, well, yes, well, she's actually been doing sexy all along. It's just you don't read it in that way. But this was a garment. I definitely would wear both those garments. The leotard underneath was beautiful. I love the way it was a low-cut leg, but it looked high-cut, so it was very, very flattering. And that jacket, so wearable, so desirable, so sort of high and elevated. I absolutely loved it.
If I had to say the worst look of the entire season was in this episode, would you agree with me?
You don't mean my darling Angelo, do you?
I mean your darling Angelo. Like, oh, what a great personality. But God, this was just an absolute miss.
Disaster. Absolute disaster. I think Angelo is the Kurt Cobain of fashion, according to Angelo. I can see why he's a creative director. I can see why he throws out ideas and inspirations and colors and thoughts and stories and so on, but he can't even run a sewing machine. And as they said to him, you can't swim in this. You can't swim this. His fabric was very, very nice.
The second you go to like take one stroke, that top is coming up over those nips.
And I'm not sure why you're wearing a rash guard with no sleeves. It's the opposite of a rash guard, and the trousers didn't fit. And I mean, he loved his model and he loved the googles, as he called them, the googles for the eyes, the swimming googles. But it was time for him to go, because I think technically he was basically unable to continue on his own. And Carly goes here as well. What did you feel about that?
I think it was the right choice based on this outfit. I think it was just a miss. But unlike Angelo, where I felt like he could not continue past this point, where he didn't have anybody doing the bulk of the sewing for him, I felt like Carly had more to show. She just had a bad week.
I agree. I mean, I can't be mad about it, because the garment really was not correct. But yes, I felt this was this like the Kiki and Farai elimination. I really felt. I thought, oh, she's so interesting. But she fell down. And just to let everyone know, they are competing as individuals, but we still have two people leaving. Now there's a bottom three, and then one of the bottom three is called safe and the other two go. I have to say the way they do the eliminations is very gentle and thoughtful and compassionate. I could do without Alexa saying, oh, this is really hard for us. They don't care whether it's hard.
Yeah, you're rich. You'll be fine.
You're fine. It's not your future in this competition. I mean, I know why they were saying it. It's a very English thing of showing, not only feeling empathy and showing empathy. But yes, I was sorry to see Carly go here, but she was the one that should have gone. So it's hard to argue with it.
In the eighth episode, we have military. I wish we could have got something else other than this. I feel like there's a lot more avenues we could have gone down, because military to me, it feels, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it feels to be, you know, very structured, very not muted, but muted kind of. I feel like we got what we needed from this in the suit episode.
Yes, I wonder what other category we would substitute for military. I think Look, it came up again with one of my favorite garments of the whole series, which is Angel, who was the winner here, making a tent coat cape garment, which she said was inspired by Moonrise Kingdom, which is, I love that film as well. So I was delighted that we shared that. She had the idea of the tent. She manipulated the fabric so that she quilted the fabric to make the coat, and then the plain fabric she used for the skirt underneath. I thought it was wonderful. I think she was very lucky to win a military category with the outfit.
Yeah, again, Minju had the most fitting outfit. Like, I see it and it reads military to me, where pretty much any of the other outfits, I don't really get that vibe.
Yes, I liked Minju's a lot. She was very unhappy about getting military. She wondered what to do. She drifted about, wringing her hands, and then she drifted over to Daniel and said, "Oh, I liked that fabric, but you have it." And he said, "Why don't you have it?" Which I thought was one of the most wonderful moments of the competition. And she sort of can't believe it, because she wasn't asking for the fabric. I think so for our listeners, they get a huge closet of fabrics that are curated for each category, but they're also told they can ask for other things. So at the beginning, there's a slightly subdued mad rush in to grab fabrics that you might like. And quite rightly, some of the designers will take 6 or 8 fabrics because they're not quite sure what they're doing. And I think that's what Daniel had done. And it was the thing that Minju really wanted. And she was so happy with it. It's one of my favorite colors too, this incredible tobacco color, which is just so attractive and striking. And she did a take on a French Revolution coat, and yet it looked really fresh. So I think of all of them, she definitely was the one that was most military and had adhered most closely to the category.
Ashton's was definitely my least favorite, but I really liked Charles's, and I didn't want to see him go because I felt like he was just hitting his stride, and I don't think he had the worst outfit, but it's just who else would have gone instead of him here, because I thought everything was pretty, you know, along the same lines. I think this is like the one spot where it hurt the show to be like, we're losing two people at one time.
Yes, I mean, that white leather jumpsuit was incredible. I can see someone wearing it. And they critiqued him on the fact that he had an overlay that they didn't like, which I thought was slightly grasping at, you know, what can we say that makes it clear about why we're eliminating him. I think Marco did. I like Marco's work very much, but I think their continual critique of him as it's too costumey is absolutely right, because that's his stuff. That's his brand. Mm-hmm. That's who he makes costumes. He makes costumes, and they are extraordinary. So I liked that he didn't. He did listen to the critique. He wasn't resistant to the critique, but he did stay very true to himself. And here it means that he is eliminated.
But it's getting hard now, because I like everyone. I think that's one thing that makes this cast so great, is that they're all really likable.
Oh yes, I've liked everybody. Except perhaps our first eliminated man, Isaac, but we didn't get a chance to hear much of his story. And I would have liked to have seen, even though I've said, you know, that Julian steamrolled and squashed Haley, I would have been interested to see what he came up with on his own. And as I said, the camouflage was just incredible. We're down to 4 now, Haley.
Oh, I can't believe it. At this point, I'm like, I was like putting off watching the last 2 episodes because I didn't want it to end.
I honestly, the next episode, which is denim. Do you like denim? Are you a denim girl?
I gave up hard pants last March.
Who didn't?
But, but I do love me a Canadian tuxedo.
Yes, I do too, very much. I have a vintage 1970s denim handbag that I got at a thrift shop in Paris, Ooh La La, which is one of my best thrift shop purchases. I have jackets, I have pants, I absolutely love denim. My teenage years were in the 70s, so it would be strange if I didn't.
Exactly. I love me some denim. And I was, what was I hoping for this episode? I think I was hoping for something maybe a little more exciting than we got. Again, I love color. I like really bright things. And the brightest one we got was Angel's, but I didn't like this look because I think the judges mentioned it didn't feel fresh, and I absolutely agree. It felt very early 90s, but like not the 90s that we're trying to bring back right now.
Yes. I agree with our lovely guest judge here, Tommy Hilfiger. I was very excited to see him. I think he was very, like Josephina, he was very interested in the designers, interested in the design, looking for, he wasn't in the slightest jaded. He was excited and looking forward to being on this episode, to talking to the designers, to looking at the actual garments. So I was really very pleased to see him, and I thought he was a terrific judge. I agree with you and the judges about Angel. I just feel, even though she probably was my favorite of the whole season, I absolutely love her confessional outfit, which was a huge lime green flight suit, which presumably is one of her own designs. I think this did look really dated, dare I say. And the shape, even aside from the flecked paint and the lace and the bleaching, I just felt the shape was not interesting.
Yeah, and looking at the four looks, I absolutely think Minju and Daniel had the best ones. I really love Daniel's looks, especially on the men's. With the women's, the only thing I want is a more defined waist.
Yes, I think that shape is beautiful and architectural, but it only works on a girl who's straight up and down, so that the shape of the dress is the shape. I'm like you. I do like the garment to shape to the body, rather than the body being a hanger. But, you know, they are models and it is a runway. So I liked his idea. I thought it was going to be a bit crafty, but that men's jacket was absolutely fantastic. I loved that.
I think it's really cool. One of the things Daniel did was that he took scraps from all the other designers and to put into his outfit, which I think is really fun. I think the women's dress, it gives me like a really like mountain vibe, which I think is super cool. The men's jacket, I would buy that right now and wear it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's interesting, and it is the first time we're up to episode 9. It is the first time that anyone's brought up what a big polluter the fashion industry is. So I was very pleased that he brought that up. He was thinking about sustainability, and he expressed that by taking the scraps of the other designers' denims and patching that onto the dress and the men's jackets. And if that sounds crafty and patchwork, you really need to see them. It was something quite extraordinary.
I was a big fan of it. I was a big, big fan.
I liked Ashton's women's look with the sleeves cut off, but it wasn't anything sorry to keep saying this, but I didn't, like the judges, I didn't feel it was something I hadn't seen before.
So then we lose Marco and we lose Angel, no, Ashton, Ashton and Angel.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think this is the right choice here. I was really excited for this final two. They were two of my favorites. I was very much rooting for Minju. But one of my favorite things about them was that they're so aesthetically different. In the finale, we're going to see two very, very different shows.
Yes, I mean, this is the producers must have hoped for something like this. So you have the structured, slightly intellectual, technically extremely proficient Daniel, who has flair, he has a narrative, he has ideas. And then you have the very emotional, romantic feeling Minju, who also has great technical skills, but her skills are different. They're not so much in tailoring as they are in draping and gathering and regarding the female form. It's very interesting. So here they have to do 10 looks. They are given 3 sewing assistants and they are given 3 days to do it. But it's a huge ask. And I think stunningly successful both shows.
Yeah, I almost wish they pared it back a bit. Like, I wish they had maybe done like 6 looks over the 3 days or something like that. Just to get everything really fleshed out. I think these two did phenomenally well with what they were given. I love the story behind Daniel's. It was based on like a group of friends from England. What were they called again? Do you remember?
They're called the Bright Young Things.
The Bright Young Things. And each look felt very specific, but it made sense why they went together. And I think I would have personally liked a little bit more of like a color through line through the outfits just to kind of really bring the collection together. Again, I like my color, but I think Daniel's was really cool. My favorite looks, I loved the pink satin star jacket. And I loved the women's dress that had like the, I think it was like, what was it, like $1,200 a yard for fabric? And he took a hammer to it.
It was, hand beaded crystal beads and he smashed it with a hammer. I liked the look of the woman with who he gave a pig's nose to, asked her to put that on. He said, you're too, almost too beautiful. And she had a very chic outfit there. Not at all for my shape, but it was something that I liked a lot. Yes, I wonder if you're right. I wonder if it was 6 rather than 10, whether for both of them there would have been a more complete and satisfying show. I guess they thought a show you have to have 10. But for both the showings, the judges talked about at least 1 or 2 that were not so successful and not so interesting. So perhaps if they'd had 6 or 8 to do rather than the 10, we wouldn't get the couple that just didn't quite hit the mark. Tell me what you thought about Minju's show.
Oh, every look that came out, I gasped at. I loved it. I didn't really pick out a weak spot. I guess there's 1 or 2 that's not my total favorite. But I love the colors. I love that she I love the through line through it. I think it's gorgeous. I think it's really stunning. It's really fitting. And it's romantic without what you typically think to be like a romantic style. I love the greens she used and mixing them with the pinks. I think they're just stunning. I love this collection, and I thought there's no way she wasn't winning when it came out.
Oh, as soon as it came out, and also they did put her second. The production did have the mm-hmm. runway second. Yes, as soon as that first girl came out, I thought, what is she doing? This is unbelievable. It really was something that we haven't seen. It was incredibly, given that she was, I don't know, and asking the sewers, what do you think? But, I mean, she's from South Korea. She has she doesn't have a forceful personality, but her creativity is the force that really drives her. I love her emotionality when she was talking about her life and what she wanted to do and her creativity, but she's not all talk. I mean, these garments were incredible. I really felt like I was seeing a runway show. I felt like buyers could be sitting in that front row and be making their notes. Here we have Elizabeth von der Goltz from the Net-a-Porter site. She's their global buying director, and this is part of the prize. They get the winner gets $250,000, and they kept saying an opportunity to be stocked by Net-a-Porter. And I felt there that Net-a-Porter were hedging their bets in case they didn't want to stock the winner's garments. But I looked up Minju Kim on Net-a-Porter in preparation for talking to you, and she's there with the collection coming. So it may be that there have been problems with COVID, and obviously everything's been affected by that. But she is listed as one of their designers, and her work is going to come to Net-a-Porter, and I will be looking at it and hankering after it, I can tell you.
Yeah, I was so thrilled that she won. I thought I didn't love Daniel Showstopper either. I think it was kind of like one of my least favorite looks he came out with.
Yes, me too.
Where it felt like an afterthought. Where Minju's, it was just I didn't get the face framing thing she was going for, but then the way it worked, I thought it was so cool. It was so dramatic, and I just really loved this collection. It was. In my many, many years of watching fashion on TV, this is one of my favorite.
I gasped at her wedding dress. I thought she was so smart to put a wedding dress at the end, because that's traditionally, you know, what you do on a runway. But to do it where the dress was so integrated with the rest of the clothes, the face framing fabric is from a painting by Frida Kahlo, where it's a Mexican headdress, but then she transformed that and it turned into a veil that just hung from the top of the head, and then it turned into a train. And Eva Chen, who's head of fashion partnerships for Instagram, and she's been on and off a guest judge throughout, she says, oh, I want to get married again just so I can wear that dress. And I thought, yes, there you are. Here are people not just saying, oh, I'd put it on a client, or I can see how that could photograph well, or I'm going to merchandise that for my website or my store. But you've got someone who's really inside fashion saying she herself would want to wear it. And I think what a compliment that is.
I love this show. It felt warm and inviting, and I felt like it really showcased some very talented people. And as I'm getting into my old age, I'm really staring
you might be
in the face. No, just kidding. I'm looking for a TV show that's highlighting friendships and warmth and loving and creativity and brightness, rather than like strict producer manufactured drama. Like, I feel like at this point, my over two decades of watching reality television, I can really pick out what's producer manipulated and what's just kind of like free flowing and makes sense with the storyline. Like, I felt like the drama in this series, it fit with what was going on. It was never like, oh, let's pit these two against each other, blah, blah, blah. It was a really lovely show to watch.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, I had some thoughts. One of them is, if you are a process nerd like I am, I think there were a few things I would have liked. And I was trying to put it into words because I knew I was going to be discussing it with you. And I happened to watch the first two episodes of Blown Away, and which is a glass blowing competition, which I think is the same thing. It's elevating creativity and it's not trying to manufacture drama necessarily between the competitors. And what they do is, when a technical term is mentioned by one of the competitors or one of the judges, they just pop up a little explanation. And I wonder if that could have just helped with this show. I mean, you and I know the phrases, but I think it might draw in a more casual viewer, so that then they feel a little bit more expert. Oh, yes, piecing. Yes, I know what that is. And, oh, I can see they've done this or they haven't done that. But other than that, that was my only small thing. I just thought, as perhaps a more casual viewer might want, slightly more of an entree into the fashion world. But the thing is, we all are in fashion. And this is my thing. When people say, oh, I don't do fashion, I don't like fashion, what do you think fashion is? I think it's our self-expression. And one of the ways we express ourselves is through our clothes and through our hair and our makeup. So if you choose not to wear color, if you choose to wear clothes that don't fit, if you choose to go down that path, that's a choice. That's your self-expression. And I think I can say no better than Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada, where she takes the turquoise belt. And she talks about it, and I thought, yes, absolutely, because I didn't like that main character. We're supposed to think that. Anyway, that's a story for another day. But I love this idea of where fashion comes into everybody's lives, and you can't say that you're not affected by it. You can say, I reject buying fashion. I reject showing my form, I reject the gender assignment I'm being given. Yes, absolutely. But I love the self-expression of fashion. And I love what's happening with fashion now, which is we're not waiting for the trends to come down from the runway anymore, which is how it used to be. I think it's a very grassroots level thing now. I know the internet's been around for a while, but if I want to go and look at what Claire Davis, the English designer from Next Gen Fashion, is doing, I can look her up on the internet. I can get her garments or whoever it might be. I've looked up Angel's stuff as well. It's not for me because I'm not a petite Asian girl, but if I was, I would be wearing Angel's clothes, definitely.
Or like Haley's, I've looked up, and she has some like really wearable pieces. She has a sweater that I am truly dying to have. It's just like the HS like initials, but filled with like this really beautiful floral pattern. It's not like crazy, like it's not like the most affordable piece you'll ever find. It's not like that crazy for, you know, somebody who's been on TV as a fashion designer.
And I just got your initials on it.
I just really want a beautiful sweatshirt with my initials on it. Yeah, and that's yeah,
exactly. Yes. So, I mean, what's fashion mean to you?
That's a good question. What does it mean to me? I wouldn't say I'm like the most fashionable person, like with what I wear, but I know what I like to look at. And I just see it as like really beautiful art. Like it's the same reason why I've always loved like America's Next Top Model, or I love Top Chef, or any of these Project Runway, any of these shows that like really puts, you know, subjective creativity to the forefront. And what I like may not be the same thing that everybody likes. Like there's probably people who are listening to this, who watch Next in Fashion, who just didn't get what Minju was doing, or who that's just not their style, and that's fine. I just love the vision of it all. Like, I think it's so cool to see, like, you know, this is not a world I'm ever really going to participate in, but it feels like I can because I can watch it on TV.
Yeah. So in my participatory part is really as a director of theatre and particularly opera, and working with the costume designers, it's taught me a lot about, you know, fashion and shape and fit and what to look for. I did a glorious production of the opera Romeo and Juliet, and you know, there's a masked ball in there, and we set it in 1899, which is a very, very nice shape for both men and women. And I just was amazed at how the designers think. And they're friends of mine, but it's seeing them working and seeing how they respond to the fabric, how they respond to shape, what the story is that's going on in their mind. And I think that's one thing that this show did really well is, without, you know, heavy-handing it, they really gave us a look into how the designers were thinking. We see them sketching, we see them feeling fabric, we see them thinking about a story when they're working in teams, and they're riffing off each other, and then there'll be this gasp of excitement as they both get the same idea at the same time. I think it really opened that door into the creative process, and I loved to see that.
It was just and even when they were no longer in teams, the collaboration was really sweet. You know, Minju going to Daniel and kind of being like, I just can't quite get this to make what I want. And he's like, okay, well, what if you just do this little tweak? And it's like, yes, it's all very, it's not cutthroat at all. It's very nice. Very
nice. I love that moment that you just described, because everybody, that was in the finale, that was in the final, when there were only two of them left. And she went to him and said, I can't solve this. And he gave her a technical solve for it, and away she went. I mean, and that wasn't the only example of it, but that it carried all the way through to the finale, where there was still assistance being offered. They appreciated each other. I think that's the great thing about almost all these contestants that we saw, was their appreciation of each other. And I love the backstage shots we got during the runway of all the designers looking not only at their own designs but others, and the gasps and the pleasure and the joy and the hugs afterwards, where they had all appreciated each other's artistry as well, I thought was really, really warm and charming.
It was just a really nice series, and If you've somehow made it to the end of this and you haven't watched the series and we haven't convinced you already, I think it's a great thing to pick up. It's 10 episodes. They're all under an hour. I think the finale might be an hour. But it's just a nice time. It's nice time television.
Yes, and I think, I mean, we did discuss whether we would spoil it or not, and obviously it would have been quite hard to talk about if we hadn't. But even knowing who wins, it's not actually going to spoil your enjoyment of the show because, you know, you will find what you like. You'll be able to think about garments that you would like to buy. If you're interested in art, if you're interested in creativity, if you are interested in fashion, this is a really charming show. The hosts, we haven't talked about a lot, Alexa Chung and Tan France, they are really warm. They're very funny together. And in each episode, there's a tip. They give you a tip about something, which they're a bit useless. The best
I will use
Tan
none saying. Of those tips. There was one tip by Alexa. I can't even remember. Oh, I feel like it. I don't know. It was like, yeah, you can just do this. And one was like, who cares if you have underwear lines? Which, like, sure, I guess. But, like, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the one tip, which is something that I do, but I thought the one tip in all the episodes that was good was Tan saying, make friends with a tailor. And yeah. I agree with you. if you bemoan the fact that you don't have, you know, a huge budget to spend on clothing, here's what I would say. First of all, I'm too broke to buy cheap clothes. I've lived, you know, a little bit longer than you, and I have come to realize that spending once and looking after and keeping a garment is going to pay off. If you buy cheap fashion, you are contributing to landfill, you're contributing to oppressive work practices. I'm sorry to depress everybody suddenly, but these cheap clothes are cheap for a reason. They will fall apart. If you think spending $100 on a t-shirt is madness, think about spending $100 on a t-shirt that you have 15 years later, as opposed to spending $5 on a t-shirt that looks like you know what, after the first time you wash it. But one of the things that you can do is if you have a tailor or a dressmaker is to find a garment at a reasonable price and get it tailored. It's not going to cost you that much more and you're going to get something that looks, you know, really fantastic. The other thing, of course, that's new or at the forefront of fashion now is upcycling, recycling, reusing. This is another thing that you can do. Go to your wardrobe, find the 20-year-old jacket and give it a new spin by getting it tailored. I have a Yoshi Yamamoto jacket in my cupboard that is about 20 years old. I don't wear it every season, but about every 3 seasons I bring it out. And every time I wear it, I feel fantastic. It's a men's jacket. It's like a suit jacket, but it's because it's Yamamoto, it's that Japanese constructed architectural. It's a very deep navy blue. I can't even tell you what I paid for it, but it has paid me back, you know, 20-fold in the fact that, in fact, I went and looked at it before coming on the podcast and I gave it a little pat and I said, oh yes, I didn't wear you last season. I think you're coming out this season. So those are my fashion tips.
I think that's great. Yeah. And let us know what you think. Let us know what you thought of the series. I bet I'm sure the people who are A, listening to this, watch the series, B, like the series and continue to watch it. You said there wasn't a second series.
Yes. It's listed as canceled.
That's sad. I would have liked to see another one, but I think this works as a standalone TV product.
I think so. I mean, I would happily have rolled over into season two and
oh my god,
watching.
Me too.
But who knows why they decided to cancel it? So go and if you haven't watched it, go and watch it. If you have watched us, let us know what you thought. Tell us what your favorite garments were. I could talk about fashion forever.
And tweet us compliments. Well, we'll see. Sarah, what else are you up to here on the podcasting network and or other places?
Well, I've just finished part three of my coverage of The Amazing Race Australia with Dan Heaton and Jess Lees. Jess wasn't able to join us for part three, unfortunately. So that should be dropping over the next few days. If you haven't already, then catch my coverage of Bridgerton, which is over on Post Show Recap's Patreon feed, but it's unlocked for non-patrons, which I bought
the book. I'm going to read the book. Then I'm going to watch a series. Then I'm going to listen to the podcast. I promise. I'll catch you in 2 to 3 months.
That is the correct order to do it in. I had so much fun with Sasha Joseph, Kirsten McInnes, and Geneva Guadalupe. And we are hoping to do season two when that comes along. And otherwise, just come, as I offer every time, just come and find me on Bondi Beach and I'll take you for a swim out past the heads and into the ocean.
And do you want people to follow you on Twitter?
Oh, sure, if you like. I'm at Sarah Carradine.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. You can check out my my book account on Instagram, at The Strong Library. Check out and see what I'm reading. When I eventually read The Duke and I, my review will be up. And if you've missed it and you're for some reason wanting to go back, you can check out my Bachelor coverage. Bachelorette should be coming, gosh, sooner than any of us could hope. And then what else am I doing? Oh, Top Chef is back. So I'm on regular coverage with that, with Kurt Clark and LaTanya Starks, which is a lot of fun. The episode about the premiere came out this week. And then later this week, I'm talking more fashion, if you can believe it. I'm joining Chappelle and Rob and Shannon Gus to talk about America's Next Top Model on the Reality Rewind.
I cannot wait for that. That is
my most exciting
thing.
I don't know if I've ever been as excited for a podcast. I grew up on ANTM, which was terrible for my self-esteem, but that's besides the point. But we're going to talk about my favorite season, Cycle 6, and one of the best episodes of that season, Episode 3. So check that out. Check us out. And until next time, bye.
Goodbye.